We did not test.
No, we have not tested. All right, we are at PS Conf Asia. For once, Michael and I are in the same location recording. This is our first time trying this.
You're taller than I thought.
Yeah. hopefully the audio is recording through the Polycom device that's sitting at our table. But we're joined. we will test this after we record because we can always, as a minimally interesting podcast, we can always re-record. So we're joined by Ben Hodge, who's one of the organizers for PS Conf Asia. So what's up, Ben? What's on your mind?
Not much. It's been a great day yesterday, getting kicked off, and appreciate you guys being here. And I think so far the interactions that I've seen have been really great. So
it's going really well.
Yeah.
Congratulations on hosting a very good event.
Yeah. So it's third year now, and starting to get some good momentum. And yeah, I mean the product team's here. You guys are here.
It seems like the attendees are the right attendees to be here. It seems like everybody's really invested in the conversations, and the talk track is very much along the lines of automation, digital transformation, DevOps, and it seems to be landing with people, for at least from the conversations I've been having.
Yeah, that's it. Actually, we've sort of seen that happen over the last 3 years, that direction just sort of come through organically. Just if we talk about what we're interested in or where we're seeing problems and what we're trying to work through, and everybody did the same thing, that really came through in a really unplanned way. But definitely there's those kind of conversations are really, I think it's landed in the PowerShell community, because that was the tool that was enabling these things. Definitely the conversations now, PowerShell's an aspect of it, but it's a much broader conversation, like you said, around those transformation kind of things and dealing with change. And even now, a lot of it, at least the walls I'm hitting, are about people. Mm-hmm. They're not technology issues. It's about getting the right mindset. And so we've had some really great speakers also come from Europe and US and kind of share their experiences, the guys that were dealing with BMW. And that's been really great. I think you're starting to get more use cases now after a few years. It used to be about the tooling and the commandlets and this kind of stuff. And now it's, hey, we went out and did this in the real world. And yeah, here's all the stuff that broke.
Stephen had a session this morning on CI/CD, and he asked the room who was using source control. 80% plus of the hands went up.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And if I don't say so myself, the talk went pretty well.
It did.
No, that was
surprising because what?
Not really. Yeah.
My talk went great.
What surprised me?
What surprised Michael
in
the workout?
I was surprised when 80% of the hands went up, because 6 months ago, even if you asked the same question, it would have been half, and a year ago it'd have been.
What's Git?
Three.
What's source control?
I have file 001, 002, 003.
Dot back, dot old.
Yeah.
In the backup file share. Yesterday, Angel did kind of a state of where PowerShell is and looking forward to the future and things. Was there anything in there that you kind of grabbed out that you thought was interesting?
Actually, yeah.
Or surprising, or not what you expected, or anything that you can say words about.
I don't think there were surprises for me, but I actually think that's because, at least in the role I'm doing and where I am at Kev, we're going through that same thought process about where our customer's going. What does that mean as a provider of solutions to them, right? What do these changes mean? Where are they going to get stuck, and how can we help that happen? And what was really great, and
Michael, I mentioned to you around the stuff you did on bots, right? Like, I was showing Michael that our Slack bot, how we're pushing information to our customers now, right? And trying to engage with them in the channels where their teams are working. And it was really exciting to see that we hadn't totally screwed it up, right? We were sort of like, okay, the Microsoft guys are going down this path. We're going down this path. Okay, we can't be too far off base. But I think a lot of the stuff that was discussed yesterday was really interesting, was really around that engagement model and not so much the plumbing underneath,
yes,
but how do you deliver that? How do you expose it? How do you... Same, the update management stuff, right, for Azure. Like, how do we just take all of this stuff that's not very sexy, but it's just a grind every day for people, and how do we make that easier? How do we make that flow? And how do we bring that together in a way that helps them through this process? So that was really interesting.
I think that's a really powerful narrative of, you know, taking the things that are a grind that people kind of focus on and making those services that can be consumed, because then you have organizations that have, you know, tens, hundreds, thousands of developers. Like, if you look at the different cloud providers, there are thousands of developers working on the hard problems that we're replicating in our internal environments. And to me, that's like the true power of cloud, is it frees up internal IT to focus on problems that matter to value to customers. So.
Yeah, I was worried about that demo, and I still am a little bit. That some of it was simulation, and some of it was real proof of concept that's actually working. And that's why I correlated the Office Vision videos, where that was completely made up, but it was really obvious that it was made up. And so I've had a few people ask me, like, say, how did you get your computer to talk to you that way? That part was all a simulation. It was showing where things could end up. And then, but, you know, right before that was, like, the cloud show recommendation stuff that I do have working. So hopefully that was all clear to people. But it's funny to me whenever I look at that kind of stuff, you know, we all want to sit down and solve the hardest problems. And now a lot of that stuff is building blocks, and it's just connecting the dots to add additional layers of transparency and communication and obfuscation. Like, we're just...
Do those all go together? Communication, transparency, and obfuscation.
Well, obfuscation.
I mean, that sounds like there's a little tension there.
Not obfuscating like the truth or anything like that. It's like obfuscating complexity into the visibility. So taking the really hard stuff and making it easier to understand.
You should say abstraction instead. It
It sounds less dodgy.
Yeah. Abstracting is probably going to serve you better. So we've heard another voice on the podcast today too. So we have Ravi with us.
And we're out of time.
And, no.
Thanks, Michael. Hey,
yeah. So Ravi, how have you been finding the conference?
Well, this is awesome. This is my second partial conference. The first one is in US. So previously I've been doing a lot of tech ed Ignite. But this, the crowd is different, the community is different there. There's a lot of energy here, a lot of bubbling energy. Everyone is so interested to do something different. So that's a different conference. I'm loving this, loving the interaction so far with all the people there. So,
and how do you feel your presentation landed? So you talked about patch management in Azure, and so how do you feel that kind of landed with the audience?
Well, I did get a lot of claps. So
awesome.
Michael,
are you surprised that his talk went well?
A number of hands.
I think it is like Michael and Anil and a few others we talked about. It's oftentimes we forget the fundamentals and we focus on what's really the new shiny piece. But these fundamentals can burn you down anytime, like patching, like WannaCry, all those attacks. So this kind of emphasizes how this, and people were able to take that, oh, wow, patching is important. Every customer I met, like I met three customers, like, yeah, patching is, it's important for us. It's like fundamental given. So it gives us the perspective of how people treat that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the conversations I've had with customers around configuration management, the first thing they want to tackle is patch management and not, no. That is not what you want to spend your time with config management on. There's other tooling chains for patch management. Doing this with your config management, the pattern in which it's run does not lend itself well to working with the existing APIs for Windows patching. It's step away from the API, right? Because it's slow, it's painful, and you're pretty much building up an in-memory database to validate the state of patches with the superseded and declined and all the different states that patches can be in. Yep. And so to determine whether or not you're compliant, you need something that's got that database.
Absolutely.
And that can make those associations outside of the single process that you're running in to do your configuration checking, right? And so to me, seeing services like that is and are directly attacking customer needs. So that's
Absolutely.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's awesome since you can just implement this as part of ARM, like you can enable it for the account, and you can think about what the onboarding process would look like for a VM. Now you can introduce that as part of the operational readiness status of an application, as opposed to just releasing the application and then a month goes by, like, oh yeah, we got to patch this thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's part of what you're going to deliver.
Yep, absolutely.
Cool. Anything else that anybody wants to talk about with the conference or?
Come again next year.
Yeah. So do we have dates net for next year? Not yet, right?
We don't have dates yet. No. All right. Working on that soon, but yeah.
Great, awesome. I think this has been an awesome conference. The community here has just been wonderful, and you know what? Just leading up to this conference, there was a DevOps Days, and the energy there's some overlap in attendees, but not a tremendous amount. But the conversations have followed. I mean, some of the conversations we're having here, I'm like, this is the same conversations we were having at the DevOps Days.
Sure.
So we have these different tech communities in the area that are dealing with the same challenges and problems. And so it was good to see the two events kind of chained together and some overlap in attendees. I'd love to see this happen again next year and with even more overlap. Because
we did try. I mean, it was a very deliberate kind of partnering around timing and trying to share attendee lists and kind of encourage this cross-pollination. We have found not just here, but just in general with the communities, there's still some inertia around labels and things like that. And for as much talk as there is around transparency and community and things like that in like DevOps conversations, there's still a bit of a bubble that I think hasn't broken through, which we'd really love to kind of get that overlap, like you said, a little bit closer. But, you know, another year or two and everyone's going to be a hybrid sysadmin of some type and, you know, it'll start to kind of flow. So, but yeah, it's been really good. And it's also good to see that the conversations are all in the right direction.
Cool.
Yeah.
I hear some humming from wheels turning.
I think it's your face.
Always. Yeah. No, I one of the things that's really fun is going from event to event and watching this progression and seeing how people are going through that the digital transformation, right? Just starting to think more about how the developer principles apply to operations.
There's a lot of transition from the last events I'm seeing. From the last year, it's more about what. Now it's about
right.
how.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. How should I do that? It's all like advanced. Everyone is going to the cloud journey,
yeah.
getting into the digital transformation.